Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Britain Cliff's Flea Circus. My name is Cliff.
Hello, and I'm Mr. Biopic.
Oh, Mr. Biopic, okay. Is that like Mr. Telescopic?
Kind of like him. Just your mate John likes the way I say it, doesn't
okay.
he?
So, I thought that was, I thought biopic was what I used to say and would say, but then I heard biopic was said, I heard it said, by others, not just you. And I thought, biopic's wrong. And I thought biopic was the correct way. A bit like David Bowie, David Bowie.
I'm glad that I'm not the only person that says that, though.
I think you're in good company.
I think I am, At least I've got peers.
You've got...
There you go. Not Morgan.
No.
Not him.
So, what? You've been off work, Brett. I must congratulate you on your outfit tonight. You look like the milk tray man. Very smart.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I was watching a certain singer who we might be talking about, who we are talking about later, who had a very similar top on, but it was a polo neck, and you could see his stomach.
Yeah. So I think he had gathered up some of the material at the top of the jumper, making it a little bit shy around the stomach area.
Exactly. He kept touching his navel and stuff.
He did, didn't he?
So must have been.
So I must say at this point that two things I want to say. One is it's Diwali today, and I live in a very
Indian... Is that the Festival of Lights?
It is the Festival of Lights and fireworks, apparently. Ooh. So I'm outside and there's fucking loads of fireworks going off, despite, by the way, it being 11:15 p.m. here, and it's not appropriate.
No, it's definitely not. The dogs will be going mad.
I thought the cat would be, but since I had her sedated, I can't tell.
So that was the first one.
I've put her in the... The second one is apparently I edited the quiz in twice last week in the podcast.
Yeah, you did that. That was a nice surprise, wasn't it? Just the quiz? Just came on again?
I've got no idea how that happened, but I was having a bit of bother because I was using a different laptop to record last week, and I was having a bit of bother. Yeah. So yeah, there's that. And
did you fix it?
No. I did intend to, but I haven't got around to it. And other than that, apparently I put the quiz on twice last week.
See what I did there. That was good. I like that joke.
So what have you been up to? You've been out.
I've been out a little bit. I've been watching some TV. Did you know what the ironic thing is about the programme Who Do You Think You Are?
What is it?
It's that I don't know who any of the people are on it. Who are they?
I just don't even know who they are. Who actually was it that you're referring to?
I didn't know who it was.
A minor celebrity.
I've got no idea who it was. I've got no idea. And people have been kicking off with a Christmas advert or something today.
Calling it too woke.
Yeah. But as long as it hasn't got that awful grime music on it, then it's fine. Did you hear about this Conservative MP that's just resigned or something?
Has he actually resigned? The one who did all the bad stuff?
And who did all the bad stuff?
And then they went, that's against the rules, isn't it? unless we change the rules.
That's him. That's him. He described it in his statement as an indescribable nightmare. So that's the start. And he also said that he was he described that he wanted a life outside the cruel world of politics.
Well, it hasn't been that cruel, has it? It's enabled him to make lots of money for doing no work. And what he made more money from that than he did from his job of being a politician. So he's probably done all right, hasn't he?
The cruel world. A cruel world it is.
He did something wrong, made loads of money on the back of doing that wrong thing. It's not a cruel world of politics. He's used it to his advantage. And then they've gone, that was wrong, actually. And he's going, well, I've fucking had enough of this shit.
what a cruel world this is.
Yeah, I mean, it's every day there's something new.
You're going to punish us for breaking the rules.
It's just every day.
What a cruel world.
Every day there's something else of that ilk. And it doesn't matter. Nothing changes. They're still fucking... Yeah. Vote the same all way and all of that shit.
So what you been doing then?
I've been gearing up to move house. I move house on Saturday, which is 2 days away from now. And obviously it's very stressful. But at least next week I'll have lots of handyman stories to tell you because there's a lot of that going to have gone on.
Are you going to speak to them, do you think?
I don't think I can avoid it, to be honest. So, thing is, you've got to like...
Those fireworks sound like gunshots.
Yes, they sound very much like gunshots, and they're quite close.
Are you sure you don't live in New Orleans?
Well, you get shot in the arse like Ray Davies.
Exactly. There you go. You want to be careful.
That's a minor story, that, isn't it? But one, I will never forget that he got shot in the arse in New Orleans. I started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think I told you that last week. I'm watching anymore because it was too woke and I don't even mind that shit.
Too woke?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, the latest series, it was just like, honestly, I couldn't believe it. It was so in your face. Like, oh, what? I don't want to be in the police force anymore. It's too oppressive, man. We're all racist. I can't be part of this. I'm like, well, it's like very...
And then did some grime music come on.
Why do you keep mentioning the grime music?
Oh, I'm not allowed to, like...
Why he's a reference to grime music.
Is there some rule? It's always on the adverts. Have you not noticed
I don't even know what it is.
Neither do I. I assume that's what it is. It's not very good anyway. Whatever it is.
Well, we've been listening to some good music this week, haven't we?
We have indeed. The best music.
You think it's the best?
Well, it's definitely for me got a lot of nostalgia attached to it, I think. Mm-hmm. Because during my teenage years it was on quite often on my Walkmans and stuff like that, wasn't it?
I totally agree. You want to say what it is?
It's the Verve, or just Verve, as the word then, EP, which is only 5 songs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when we were teenagers and getting into music and stuff like that, you definitely recorded it for me on a tape. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that would have been the first time that I kind of heard it. I think maybe it's the same time as Oasis, maybe it's a little bit before. What do you think?
That
we listened to it, not when it came out, because it came out in 92, didn't it?
This came out in 92, which we wouldn't have listened to it then. Think
I was listening to Rave.
Of course we were. We were listening to QFX.
Aye.
So, I think I'm trying to think when I would have first heard the Verve in it. I remember, again, I keep talking about this Noel Gallagher interview and What's the Story Morning Glory came out, which is 95.
Uh-huh.
We talked about where he said he was talking about Neil Young in that, and he wanted the song What's the Story Morning Glory to sound like Neil Young's guitar.
Yeah.
In that, obviously, it's now kind of well known, but he said he wrote Cast No Shadow about Richard Ashcroft.
Because
at that point in time, the Verve had split up temporarily, as it turned out, and then they came back with Bittersweet Symphony, like not long after that.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to Alphabet as somebody being excited to see it come back, for them to come back. So I don't know whether that interview made me look at what the Verve was, but I don't think that is the case because, yet again, I think...
You must have listened to them before that.
I think South Tyneside Central Library, the jazz man, came to our saviour, because I remember getting a Northern Soul and absolutely being blown away by History, one of our favourite songs, but This Is Music and A New Decade. And I think I would have got that probably just on the off chance, like I'd heard the name and saw that CD in the library, and then delved back a bit. And I remember getting the Verve EP from Changes One and Shields, the independent record shop that was there that we got a lot of stuff from. And I think that was where I got that from. Just I remember it saying like US import.
Right, because it was pretty hard to find, I seem to remember, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we used to always go to HMV and we used to try and hunt for singles and stuff like that, Oasis ones and the other Verve ones. And it was pretty hard to find. And I'm sure you've stole it from your house once.
No, so I was going to see I was going to mention this and show you it, but I didn't have time to look for it.
Have you, then, just, you got it? Wasn't that, was it?
No.
It was something else.
Sorry, I just closed the door. It was the No Come Down B-sides and
Rarities. That's what you nicked that, did you?
I remember I was at your house one night before.
You went, what you got this for? You're never going to listen to this. I think, what are you talking about? Of course, I'm going to listen to it. That's why I bought it.
Because I remember I'd wanted it for years. We're talking, about like 2005 or something. And I was how the hell you got this? And you went, well, what do you mean? And I was why have you got it? You'll never listen to this. And he went, well, I do listen to it all the time. And I went, And I went, oh, let us borrow it then. And he went, no, I'm not letting you borrow it because I'll never get it back. And I went, I'm not you, Brett Davison. I don't keep stuff that I borrow yet. It's on the shelf inside my apartment now.
you shit.
16 years later in a different country.
Can I have it back?
I'll bring it back next time I come home. I'll bring it.
Buddy, you might as well keep it now, man. You might as well keep it.
I have spunked on it, so something.
To be honest,
that's a given, isn't it?
It is a given. It certainly is. The EP and stuff like that, it's attached to like loads of different memories. I remember working for the police and getting a half day, getting a half day to meet yous in the Ginger Draft to watch the England-Tunisia game. And it was on, it was on my headphones then. Do you know what I mean? So I always remember little things that have happened.
That's a great thing with films and music and books and stuff like that. They can take you back to a particular place. However, I think I'm saying that. I don't really believe all of that. I believe only music really does that. I don't think like watching a film go on and this brings us back to a particular place in my childhood or whatever, because I don't think it has. Because you're watching a film, you're watching a film. When you listen to music, there's a good chance you're doing something else. And I think it's that something else that you get that
rush for.
I think like I totally agree. I don't really have that with this Northern Soul album. I do. Yes, I remember certainly a couple of the songs on this that are still absolutely unbelievable. I totally love it. And I think Verve are one of those, and they were just Verve at this point. They had to add the because I think they named themselves after a jazz label called Verve or something. But even if they did or didn't, that jazz label got annoyed that they had the same name and sued them. So they had to add the, which of course made all the difference.
one of the many court cases that the Verve were involved in.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
well, I would say
for them.
That. When they did add the sounded different, like the girl called The Verve by the time the second album Northern Soul came out, which is my favorite Verve album or recording.
Is it? I love it, mind. But I prefer Storm in Heaven, personally.
Well, that's the only one I've got a record. I think I told you I got a record a couple of months ago. I'd love a Northern Soul, like the vinyl of that. But I think the thing is with the Verve is like they became massive on the back of Oasis and Noel Gallagher kind of digging them up around that time. They came back with Bittersweet Symphony. The whole country was enthralled to indie music then and all this anthemic indie rock with strings and all of that. And obviously Bittersweet Symphony was kind of the perfect encapsulation of everything that was popular at that time. And on the back of that, which, as we know, you've just mentioned court cases, they lost money on because Andrew Lou Goldham, former Rolling Stones manager, sued them because that string part in that song, I'm sure everybody knows this, but that string part that they use in Bittersweet Symphony was a string arrangement of the Rolling Stones song The Last Time, that he has an album called the Andrew Lou Goldham Orchestra, and it was string versions of Stone songs.
So it's not even a Rolling Stones song. It's a completely different album.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he's sort of reimagined type thing, hasn't he? And I'm not sure it was him that sued. I think it was Alan Klein who ordered the or who owned the rights.
It would have been.
Yes. So the Beatles manager, or the last Beatles manager, wasn't he? Towards the end, anyway. Yeah. McCartney hates him, doesn't he? He sued, I think, and they eventually kind of lost 100% of the royalties. So the most they've like toiled for years. Do you know what I mean? Had no commercial success. Mm-hmm. When they get the commercial success, it's taken away from them. It's just cruel, isn't it? We're not talking about the sort of cool indie looking Verve. We're talking about the hippie Verve, which I think people will be like shocked, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
if they'd just come to the Verve. It bit a sweet symphony, shocked to see what they were previously.
And
you know what I mean?
My point was going to be they became massive. Lucky Man, Sonnet, Drugs Don't Work, all these kind of big anthemic indie rockers that came out 96, 97, whenever. You know, this is the time when Britpop and indie was massive. They were huge on the back of that. And to be honest, I never really listened to that album ever. Are totally overplayed, and I think the album's obviously still a good album. Those songs are obviously good songs, but those singles are so overplayed. I don't need to hear them anymore, and I don't really want it.
Well,
listening to the stuff, which is why I listened to this stuff.
that was the problem with Bittersweet Symphony, wasn't it? I think Ashcroft realised that. And obviously, you know, companies wanted it for adverts and stuff like that, which it did eventually
lost them more money.
Because it was making money. Exactly. But he didn't want that, did he? Because it's a brilliant song. I mean, there's some excellent songs on that album. It's the Urban Hymn.
Absolutely. But
similar to you, I don't listen to that one. I don't go back to that one. I mean, I much prefer the early psychedelic stuff. I just love it. Like I say, it's something that I've listened to throughout my life, really. Do you know what I mean? From being a teenager up to now, I just absolutely love it. But I've always gone back to the psychedelic stuff, the early stuff, a bit like you, rather than the Urban Hymn stuff, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's more to it. There's not, you know, if you want to listen to a Britpop like anthem, there's millions of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there much out there that sounds like the Verve EP? I don't think there is.
To be honest, I was going to say that I haven't heard anything that sounds like this before. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure bands have tried to copy, because it's very difficult to describe what it sounds like, isn't it? It's almost like a feeling or whatever when you listen to it. It takes you on like a journey or something, doesn't it? Because that's the way that the songs are. And like I say, I much prefer that kind of stuff to the indie stuff, which is odd because we're massive into the indie stuff.
Yeah, I know, but I think as we get older, I prefer music that kind of envelops you a little bit more, that you can lose yourself in a bit more, whether that's electronic music, whether it's krautrock, whether it's ambient stuff, or this kind of, let's say, shoegaze, because this is more shoegaze than Britpop or anything, for want of a better term. And I think I've kind of got into more shoegaze. I never really would have listened to shoegaze as a teenager because it was dead by then. And the bands that were in it kind of disappeared. But I've come to love bands like Slow Dive. And I think this kind of fits in more with that genre of music than anything else. But it's still very different to them. And I think that's mainly down to Nick McCabe more than anybody else in the band.
Well, he's just a fantastic guitarist. I think the thing that the Verve are good at is being incredibly loud and then incredibly quiet. And I think the Verve are just unbelievable at it. Absolutely class. And there's lots of examples on this album of massive crashing guitars and then all of a sudden nice sort of quiet, trippy guitars.
The combination of Nick McCabe and Richard Ashcroft, and also like the other guys in the band, the bassist Simon Jones is absolutely superb.
I think Simon Jones is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable, for sure. I think on a Northern Soul as well, he's like some of the songs on there, like Life's an Ocean and stuff.
Oh, his bass on that bass. Is probably, is it the best bass of the 90s? Who can say?
Yeah, I would say so. it's better than Outquigs he ever did.
Before we get into the songs in a little bit more detail, what do you think of the cover?
I like the cover. It's Richard Ashcroft's flat in Wigan, and it's his girlfriend at the time, I think, who's on it. Someone called Sarah Carpenter. But I like it. Do you like it?
I think it's great.
And it's kind of blurry, weird sort of ghost image
of the people.
Which is obviously
but then it's like a messy person. Front room, isn't it?
I
think that definitely maybe copied this a bit. But more I look at the cover, the colours, it's a living room and all of that kind of stuff. Definitely maybe cover everything's perfectly placed, like that poster there, that guy lying there and all of that. Whereas this is kind of chaos.
It's like a mess, isn't it?
The style of it, and I think that's fine. The music,
it's very similar. I mean, I think, and definitely, maybe, isn't it? Boneheads, say
it's Boneheads' place, I think. Yeah, I think so.
It's a similar type of stuff going on, isn't it? For sure. I mean, as when Oasis were coming up, they were touring with the Verve and stuff like that in '93 and stuff like that, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So they knew each other for sure, didn't they?
Yeah, and then obviously the tables turned, and because of this hiatus that the Verve went on after A Northern Soul, by the time they came back, Oasis were massive, and that was when, right, well, they're the best band in the world. They should be. I remember both Liam Gallagher and Noel Gallagher both saying, like, well, we should be supporting them, really, but, you know, we think they're the greatest band in the world. Actually, I did a quick interview with Liam Gallagher a couple of years ago, sadly not face-to-face, but I think I asked him, like, outside of him.
Were you shouting at each other over a precipice or something? Is that how the interview was conducted?
It was one of us was behind the screen.
I'll do it with you, but I'm not looking at you.
And you know what? He was all right with that. Fair play to him. I said something about, you know, what you're listening to, you know, very simple question, like outside of yourself, what you're listening to right now, or something like that. And anyway, he just came back. He basically said, Richard Ashcroft, like the man, it's Christ-like to me. Was his reply to that.
So I think it's a journey, this EP. I just think it's wonderful. Absolutely brilliant. This is mental, right? When I was a kid, I had this game for the Mega Drive, right? And it was called World of Illusion. And you were Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, right? And there was a level where you were in the water. So you were in the sea swimming about. And a lot of it, these songs, remind us of that. They're very sort of like if you're in the sea type thing to me. Do you know what I mean? Which is mad. But at the end of the last song, Feel, which then I've listened to it loads today, there's like waves at the end of that song type thing. So it's like, it is like that. It is like that.
Well, you know,
it gives confirmation.
Listen to this when you were playing that game.
No, definitely not. I would have been playing World of Illusion when I was about 10, I would say.
Okay. All right.
But it doesn't remind us. I mean, in a sense, it reminds us of the game. But that the sort of tracks and stuff like that just remind us of the sea. I don't know why. I think it's the guitar. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's a very fluid guitar style that Nick McCabe has. It's he's like a Dave Gilmour. Like, he should be held in the regard that he's not.
Yeah,
Dave Gilmour and Pink Floyd aren't for everyone, but surely most people who like music can admit that nobody really plays guitar like him, and also that he's a fantastic guitarist.
Yeah.
And I think of all of any other band that's ever existed, or any other guitarist that's ever existed, Nick McCabe's the only guy that I kind of think is similar in some ways. Like, they have their own style.
He's got his own style. Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Do you know what I mean? Nobody else sounds like Nick McCabe.
No, not at all. And I think that's the difference. Like I said, I think the playing's great on it. And I think because Ashcroft's just part of the band rather than like this superstar frontman, it all feels more together. And more like, I keep saying the word
like a band, they sound like a band, don't they?
Yeah, but it's all part of
the weird thing is, I got you. I don't know if you did listen to it, but I sent you this thing which is off the radio, Radcliffe show, and they're all trying to outdo each other on that. They're all trying to be as loud as they can possibly be. Yeah, yeah. I was listening to it on my iPod and I nearly had to turn it down, nearly, but I didn't. Because it's so loud, so loud that they're all trying to outdo each other. Ashcroft at times trying to get his voice heard, you know what I mean, over the crashing guitars and stuff like that.
Because
which is probably the problems occurred.
In the mix and in the first album and this, the voice is almost like. This gets said a lot, but the voice is almost like an instrument that's part of the band rather than something that's up front and on top of everything, which I think did change as the band progressed.
It definitely did, didn't it?
You can imagine playing this live as a frontman and a singer. You're going to be like, well, hang on, nobody can actually hear what I'm doing.
And I mean, he's a great singer as well, isn't he? He's a wonderful singer.
Yeah, but he's singing... If anybody listens to Drugs Don't Work and listens to Man Called Sun, you wouldn't think they're the same person, I think. Totally different styles. What? Like, he's evolved into a different kind of troubadour kind of thing as they became more personal, kind of acoustic type of songs. I think the way he sang them changed.
Maybe he realised at the end he didn't need to sort of shout.
Do you
know what I mean? He didn't need to project his voice as he was doing in the early sort of verse stuff. But he's also, I don't know, he's also like some kind of Jim Morrison or something like that on these psychedelic ones. He's like that kind of frontman, isn't he? And I was watching...
At this point, I think,
Yeah, I was watching the live stuff and stuff like that on YouTube as well. And he's all over the place as a frontman. He's like, his arms are waving around all over the place. He's a class frontman. I just think wonderful band, absolutely fantastic band. I think they're all great. And I just prefer these ones to the other stuff.
Well, I agree. I'm not having a go at Richard. What he said or what he does or said now. Like, it's up
to him. Like his stuff now. I still think he's great. You know what I mean? And I watched him play charity football once. It was on Channel 5.
Yeah,
I think.
I remember that.
He's pretty good there as well. So there you go.
But in terms of the songs on this,
like
we said, there's five songs. It starts with Gravity Grave. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like a journey. The sequencing of the songs and the way they sound, the ebb and flow of these five songs over the half an hour, it's almost like the rush of euphoria followed by a bit of a come down and a bit of blissed out and all of that. And I'm sure that's not accidental.
I read that we're all on A's at the time and stuff like that. So, do you know what I mean? That's very much the case. If
you're any standout for you, they've got Gravity Grave, Man Called Sun,
Gravity
Grave. She's a Superstar, Endless Life, and Feel on the track list.
I think the first three are like blow your head off amazing. Mm-hmm. So I think Gravity Grave, A Man Called Sun, and She's a Superstar are absolutely just wonderful songs. I really like Feel as well. I think that's excellent. I mean, it's 10 minutes long, Feel, isn't it?
But
some of the guitar work and stuff like that, more subtle guitar work in the last one, I think.
Absolutely,
And subtle riffs and things. You think the song's finished and it suddenly starts again lovely little riff. So I think, you know, the whole thing's amazing, but the first three for me are bangers.
I think with
bangers.
it's, you know, they're just more immediate, aren't they? They really grab you a bit more. And then as it goes on, like I say, I think it's a bit of a come down and a bit of a like, well, okay, everybody's kind of just lying around or sitting back, can't be bothered to talk to each other. We'll just let this go on. Whereas the first the first few are like, kind of like ride that little wave of euphoria a little bit more. Like my favorite is A Man Called Sun. I've always loved that. That probably was the first one I would have put onto you because I think I was just obsessed with it. I love I'd love the melody of that. It's not a chorus really, but you know, that main line, that main motif. I love the melody of the way
it's Shine on Me bit.
Also, you said earlier in the week, you used to have some facts about this. I can't remember any facts about this that I've had whatsoever.
Well, what
I do know one of them
Sun?
Is that because Manson, the band, named themselves after that song. And I think they originally were called The Man Called Sun and then shortened it to Manson, which is why it's spelled like that. Rather than Charles Manson or something like that, which I'm sure.
Well, that was the very fact I was thinking of. This and A Storm in Heaven, it was like, you know, the critics loved it and stuff like that, but it's not going to get played on the radio. And they had to change, really, if they wanted to have commercial success, I think, didn't they?
But Blue and Slide Away are both singles, in my opinion, and brilliant singles.
But still, I don't think they got played that much, though.
No, but that means people are stupid because they are fucking.
It does. I agree.
Perfect as it gets for this kind of music. It's great.
Yeah.
And even
I completely agree.
And I can only assume a Northern Soul. Also, nobody played the singles of that. Otherwise, it would have been popular.
Well, it's odd that History, right? Which it's pretty similar a bit of Sweet Symphony, isn't it? Never got played on the radio. It wasn't a success or whatever. It's just odd. It's just like success eluded them, didn't it, up until that point, which is a strange thing. Because that, I mean, they're a brilliant band for me. Like, I hold them up there with like Oasis and stuff like that from the time I was a kid.
The song we never saw them.
No, I never saw them live.
I saw Ashcroft once, but it wasn't. I remember messaging you because he started playing History, and I messaged you saying, "Oh, fucking hell, Ashcroft. He's doing History." Yeah. And he forgot the words after the second verse. I was like, fuck.
Did he?
What the I've waited like 15 years to hear this being sung live and it's screwed it up.
Just let down. that's terrible. But do you go back to and listen to these songs?
Or have you just done that
for this podcast?
I hadn't listened to this EP itself for a while, but like I said, I bought Storm in Heaven a couple of months ago. And I'd love a Northern Soul on vinyl, but this stuff I hadn't gone out my way to listen to it. Are they at the top of their game before they got famous? I think you think.
Yeah, probably. I think so. And I mean, if anybody hasn't heard this stuff before, definitely go back and listen to it. If you're just familiar with the Bittersweet Symphony and the Drugs Don't Work and Lucky Man and stuff like that, definitely go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
Because it's a treat.
Do you have a quiz?
Well, I don't actually. Well, I kind of do, but it's from my book of facts.
I completely
forgot to do one.
Does this mean that it's not something that you've come up with, but you can just read out because that's probably better.
Yeah. So thanks for that. That's very kind of you. You should know this. What speed can police cars in Dubai go at max?
Well, like the capabilities are there by the law?
Don't know.
160 kilometers per hour.
Kilometers? I want it in miles per hour.
We don't do it that year. I don't know.
Don't give me your foreign muck.
Well, you've asked us about foreign muck. 110 miles per hour.
267 miles per hour.
Miles per hour.
The answer. Have you ever seen a police car go that fast?
I wouldn't fucking see it, would I?
Yeah, you wouldn't. You really wouldn't. So there you go.
What is
the most shoplifted food in the United Kingdom?
Well, Brett, I know this from bitter experience.
Do you?
It is one of two things, and I'll give you the two things.
Well, you don't know it then.
I know it's one of these
two things.
Cheese. Well,
cheese is the right answer. You do know. Well done.
Bacon's number two.
Bacon's number two. Mm-hmm. Is it not? Steak.
No.
Why bacon?
I don't know if you have to ask the criminals, don't you? But
you have to ask them. I did. Whose real name is Tracy Lauren Morrow? Ooh. It's a rapper.
Tracy. Oh. Ice-T?
It is Ice-T. You are a secret fan of the Ice-T's, aren't you?
A secret fan of Tracy's.
Everybody loves a Tracy. Which band used to be called Starfish?
Starfish. That's a terrible
Starfish.
Name.
Starfish. It is a terrible name.
Is it a terrible band?
They are now terrible, yes.
I'm going to say Coldplay.
They were originally quite good. Coldplay is right, yes. Is well it? Done. Okay. It is Coldplay. It is indeed. Which Miramax boss, right, has been thanked 12 times at the Oscars? Once more than God. Did you get that?
Is it our friend Harvey? Is it Harvey Weinstein?
It certainly is, yes. And what a man to be thanked more than God, wouldn't you say?
Probably to try last and one. Rips.
Whose eyes are the size of basketballs?
Whose? Like a person.
Who's maybe? What's that guy off Young Frankenstein?
Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant. No, that comedian. What's that guy's name? I've forgotten his name, man.
Marty.
That's it. Marty, yeah. Is that the answer?
No, whose eyes are the size of basketballs? I think I'm going to have to say Michael Clark Duncan.
I'm afraid it's the eye of the giant squid.
Oh, I should have known. I used to go to school with him.
You should have known that. Slimy bastard. That concludes this week's well-prepared.
Okay. Amazing. Quiz. Absolutely so amazing. I love it. I think I did quite well, if I don't say so myself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think you did. Well. I don't know how many you got in that, but there you go.
Seven out of four. Yeah. So we've got music to wrap up. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope you go back and listen to Verve.
Verve.
Tell you what, we haven't had a review on the Apple for a while, have we?
No, I think we're well due one. I think some nice person out there should put a good one on.
Yeah, a good one. Leave us a review, mister. That's what I'm going to say to that.
Please, sir.
And I think we've got a band aptly named The Heavy North for the music to see us out tonight with their latest single, Awake.
Okay. And it's a good one.
Good, yes, it is a good one. So thanks to the Heavy North. I will be on a new balcony next week when we talk. So
I hope the view is very nice.
I'm going to just get your hopes up a little bit there and give you something to think about over the next seven days.
Well, that is going to keep us going. Let's put it that way.
Right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.